Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another phenomenal episode of Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his home studio out in California is my main man, Jesse. Jesse, what's up, baby?
Yo! Y'all gonna have to forgive me. I'm enjoying me a fine lunch of Chinese cuisine. So if you hear smacking, it's because it's good food, brother.
It's all right. You know, sometimes we got to start. I start the show out like that, you know. Sometimes, you know, don't get the time to eat before show. So,
yeah, it's been a hectic day, just, man. I've been. Do you? What would you tell me something good?
Tell you something good.
Yeah, tell me something good.
I don't know.
Oh, so you can't top last week's story, huh?
Yeah, no, I didn't get anybody fired. So, it was kind of a dull week. Kind of work and working home and working home. Nothing spectacular. It was just kind of one of those bland weeks. Nothing fancy.
Well, I can dig it. My week's been all
right. I did go out to the karaoke bar that we loved last night, So we were there like the whole time, and it was a slow night. So me and mine and my girlfriend's friend Stephanie, we got to do like 80% of the karaoke songs because like it was just kind of a slow, dead night. Nobody was there, so we got on stage a whole bunch.
Karaoke,
doing a
That's
whole
one thing
bunch
I will never
different
do.
Songs.
One thing
Why
I
not?
Will never do because when I was in college. Two of my little side jobs, because a lot of people don't know. I mean, things are changing now, but, you know, I played college football, and there's really, outside of your scholarship, there's no real job that they'll allow you to have. So what I fandangled is when I was in college, I would DJ, and I was a waiter, you know, to make money on the side. And so the main night that I was a waiter basically, I was being exploited and didn't know it. It was always on ladies' night. And where I went to school, it was like the small school in Colorado. So it would be just all these old white ladies. Right? And it would be karaoke night. And right. It would be – just imagine you spend your nights listening to just the worst, terrible voices ever as you're trying to work. And so in between getting hit on by these older Caucasian women, getting propositioned by them, I'm listening to them sing terribly. So it's just like, yeah, it just brings back a bad memory of feeling like I am not a piece of meat. I'm not here for your pleasure. I just want your tip. Like, so it's like anytime I was like, I'll never be a karaoke guy. Sorry.
Wow. Well, that was fun last night, though. You know, we had a blast. We did a bunch of songs that we never did either, too, just to fucking try them out, since it was such a dead night. We did Drop the World.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun.
Wow, you did the M and Wayne. So who was Eminem and who was Wayne?
Oh, we just both sang it.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
I thought y'all was gonna act out the parts and somebody pulled out a dreadlock wig or something.
Then we do Stan.
Okay.
We do Stan. We like doing that one. That's pretty cool.
That's a pretty depressing ass song when you think about it.
It is a depressing song, but you know.
Like damn dog. Mm-hmm. What's going on in your life that you write a suicide letter song? Damn.
That is kind of crazy.
It really is. It's a suicide letter from a fan.
Right.
You
know, yeah.
This fan is. Like, I've had some really fucked up shit happen to me in life, but I've never, like, yeah, I'm thinking about killing myself. That was never an option. Like, and I would never want nobody to kill themselves on my behalf. Like, but that's one of his, you know, that's a legendary song, but it's just like, damn, that was, bro, you was in a dark place. Like,
yeah.
Where were your friends at? Did Proof not realize, hey, I need to hug my homeboy? Like, he got some things going on.
Yeah, man, you know, him doing that song with Elton John really, really bolstered that song and its popularity when they did it at the awards ceremony together.
Well, I mean, in essence,
and
of
that
his
started
career,
out as a joke too.
I can see that, but he's always been positioned correctly. That's one thing about Eminem as an artist. The machine behind him always made sure, like he had to try. He would have had to try really hard to fail in his specific situation. So that's one thing about his career. He's always had the privilege of the best of the best of the best in all regards of what it takes to be a mainstream, you know, super mega star.
Right. Yeah. So, do you think he would have broke out if Dre hadn't, you know,
put him
on?
Hell no.
We wouldn't know Eminem, you know, Slim Shady.
No, because I'll say this as a fan of him as an artist. He has music out that predates the Slim Shady character. That's not what you know him for. You see what I'm saying? Like, I have the Infinite album.
Right.
Great album. Great lyrical album. But if you ask the average Eminem fan, hi, my name is, that's when they met him. That's where they believe he started. So, no, in his case, and it's a hard thing because, you know, it's going to pull on the heartstrings of the race topic. He was placed with the best. Like, it doesn't get any better than Dre in aspect of the type of, because to give Marshall his credit, he's a hardcore rapper. And he's not a gangster rapper, but he's a hardcore artist.
Mm-hmm.
Who better to go to but Dre for that kind of controversial, provocative shit?
Right.
You know, who better to have as a CEO than Jimmy Iovine? You know, who better to have around you than the roster they built at Aftermath? You know, he had everything an artist would need to win. Plus, he had the monopoly of being white. Let's be real. You're the one dominant thing in a culture that technically you don't belong in. So that was the first time that white America had their guy. So he had the monopoly.
I don't really believe that because majority of, you know, Caucasians didn't like his fucking music. Didn't like what he stood for. You had parents and stuff like that. Fucking, you know,
their children
bashed him and stuff like that.
Their children loved the music.
The children, yeah. Because I'm one of those children, yeah.
Yeah, their children. Fuck the adults. It's never about the adults. We're talking about this kind of. It's never about. Even think about how quick young people want to call old people old. Like, you're just old. No, it's always about, even now, what is music, hip-hop about? Corrupting the minds of young people. Right? So in that case, yeah, he was the, like, but he even said it himself. You're embarrassed that your parents still listen to Elvis. He was the anti that.
Right.
Right? And then in the aspect of it, that was, he was competitive. But that he was the only thing like him. There was no, like, for me as a black artist, I have to compete with every other artist that looks like me, right? So I have to share the market. M, that dude, he had the whole, it was all his, all of it. And so when you argue record sales, well, I'll say this. There was one time I was on tour, right? And it really messed me up because I wasn't thinking like that. So I'm not going to say where I was performing at, but I'll just say it's a place that is a predominantly black. And I remember, and the person I was touring with, obviously, was a white guy. And I remember one of his fans saying, I'm not thinking that that I heard her, saying, I'm so happy that I don't have to sit through a whole show of a bunch of black guys rapping. That is the mentality sometimes, you know? And it's like a weird line to walk, because where does it become about racism, and where does it become about, where does it be? You don't really know. And we can argue about that till the cows come home. But I think that was the one, he was the first time that I think young white men and women felt like, oh, I can compete in this world. And shoot, think about how many white kids really truly take hip hop serious now. And that was because of him. Well, he gave them their first voice. And I don't mean, and the thing about it is, and I don't even mean it as a race thing. I just mean he spoke to that crowd. Like, let's be real. He's a white kid that spoke to white America, or the youth of white America. Because I'm sorry, Jay-Z would have never talked about raping his mom and killing his girlfriend and driving her around. And even for me at the time, I was like, what the? It was wild to hear, but it was still like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, you killed your baby mama and drove around with her dead body in the car with your daughter in the car seat, and then had your daughter help you throw her off the bridge? Wow. I could never get away with it. My mom alone, my own mom would beat my ass. I don't care how old, please. If I said some wild shit like that about my mom, I would be scared to go to my mom's. I would be scared my mom would come to my house looking for me.
You know, I guess there is that. I guess, you know.
So I just think he had something very special at that time. And yes, race played a part of it. I don't think race played on a hateful way, but race played a part of it. Talent played a part of it, and opportunity played a part of it. But there's something I like to say to a lot of people there's something I've said to people. Who do you blame, the opportunist or the person who created the opportunity? It's a chicken or the egg question, but that's how you got to see it. So we can't be mad at him for his success.
I never thought about it like that.
Somebody gave him an opportunity. So if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at the person that gave him the opportunity.
Well, I'm not mad he's around. Is that what you're getting at?
No, not you. But I'm saying there's people that will argue. Well, he only made it because he was white, and that. But yeah, but okay, he was given the opportunity because he probably was white. But he still made the best of that shit.
Right.
We can't knock it. At the end of the day, Marshall Mathers is a superior lyricist. I don't care what nobody says.
Right.
Is he the best ever? Hell no. Is he one of the best to do it? Hell yeah. But that's just my opinion. You know, who the fuck am I?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do appreciate you tuning into the show. that being said, please, if you haven't already, go to that Facebook page. Get in that search bar, type in Note by Note Radio Show, hit that like button, hit that share button. Please also go over to Wiki Curiosity Media, like and share that page, keep up with everything that's going on with the WCM world.
What Jay Boogie said.
We have a battle rapper on tonight, you know, speaking of hip-hop and everything. We have a battle rapper on tonight. His name's Ty Law. He's an East Coast battle rapper out of the District of Columbia. So we're looking forward to hearing from him. He should be calling in very momentarily.
I think you should ask him that question.
What's that?
Would him have made it without the situation? The same question you asked me. Ask him.
Okay. Okay. I will.
I think it'll be cooler coming from you.
Why? Because I'm white.
No, for real. Yeah, I think it would. For real.
Okay. No, I'll
for
ask
real.
Him.
I think it would be cool. Because it's good to, because we need to be able to have these kind of conversations where it's not about, like, hate. You know what I mean? It's just like, nah, like, you benefited because of who you are. And I think that's, like, hard for people to have, because they're so sensitive about it, because they think they're trying to talk. I feel like people feel like you're trying to take shots at them when you say that. But I can even say for me, like, even like we have certain male privileges that women don't have. Women have certain women privileges that males don't have. But mm-hmm. no one ever says, like, no, that's just, that's one of those things that where you are, who you are, that's something you have that other people don't. That doesn't mean anything bad about you, but the opportunity is still presented. Maybe it may be presented to you because you are a man. You know what I mean? It's no not. Let's be realistic. Like something, or and vice versa. And maybe it was present. Maybe it did go that way because he was white, and that was the only thing that they could do to. That was the only gimmick they could flip at the time. But actually, come to find out, this dude wasn't a gimmick. He was a beast. We don't really know unless we could get Dre and Jimmy Iovine in here and say, well, why did you do that? Why was it really him? Why did you really pick him? Why did you bet it all on that guy?
Right.
We don't ever know.
Right.
It's all speculation at that point. Like, we can go off, you know, Dre's interview where he was just saying he was looking for something different and nothing else was working. I mean, he said that in the – I forget what interview it was, but that was one thing he said. Nothing else we were
right.
doing was working. And it just – he was just something that was new and different that hadn't been tried before, and it just worked. And maybe it was that freaking simple. It was just – it was different. And let's be real, the difference was he was white. That doesn't make it a bad thing. It just, that was, sometimes it be like that. You know what I mean? Sometimes,
right.
Hey,
sometimes
it,
fucking shit just goes together like peanut butter and jelly.
Right. Right. It just, because ironically, if I was in a position, I ain't gonna lie, I would have done the same thing. Because I've been a fan of him for so long. There was a time I didn't know he was white. I was just listening to what he was saying. And it was just like, dude, this dude is crazy. Like, it's just crazy how you put those stanzas together. It's crazy where like, who, okay, I'm not going to say the rhyme, but just the whole idea that you drink so much that they got to surgically remove the can from your hand, that's some wild shit. Like, when you really think about how crazy that is, like, you know, I went to bed with a keg. I woke up with a 40. Like, that's some way out thinking. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Those are the bars. Those are bars that me as an artist myself, I was like, bro, I wish I would have said that shit. That's fire.
Wish I'd come up with this.
You know what I'm saying? To this day, in my crew, that's one of our biggest jokes. But I know something about you. We always, that's how we make fun about it. Like, oh, you a gangster? For real? You a gangster? Okay. Last time I checked, your dad was a pastor. So, I think it's all. I wish we could have these conversations without it being about, you know, people taking it as, without people feeling attacked. But
well, I mean, it's hard to do that anymore because people, you know, as a society, have to walk on fucking eggshells around everybody else around them, and. You know,
but
you
do
can't
we
even...
really, or is that what we're told?
That's what we're told. We don't really have to, but that's what we're told because that's PC. You know, to accept everybody's feelings and, you know, da 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 da, and watch what you say, you know, about this and that and this and that, you know.
But let's be real. Everybody's feelings shouldn't be considered. Let's just be honest. Everybody shouldn't have a voice. Let's just be real. Now, who gets to decide that? I don't know. But the one thing we see on social media, the majority of us in this, I'll just say in our country, we ain't the brightest crayons. Some of these concepts should have been kept private. Not everybody should have, like, not saying you shouldn't have an opinion, but not everybody's opinion should be heard. There's just a lot of shit that just
right.
should be thought and never
yeah.
said. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's my point. So the whole idea that we have to tiptoe around your feel, nah, like, to me, I don't agree with that or believe in that. You know, because for me, and I'm just speaking for me personally, if I was on some dumb shit, I would want a friend to pull me aside and say, bro, you're embarrassing yourself right now. You know what I'm saying? like, don't be that. Don't be, because think about what we're doing. We're just agreeing with you for the sake of it, but you might be destroying yourself. Like, that's what you're telling me. Let people watch people ruin themselves and encourage them while they do it. Because if you can't question them, that's what you're doing. Now, some people are on point in what they believe. They're on point. What about, but that's like, let's say maybe that's like 1%. What about everyone else who isn't? What about people who are speaking literally out of ignorance? I had a conversation, actually, I could tell you a story about something that happened actually yesterday. So a producer friend of mine, I'm going to give him a shout out, Sean Black from San Jose. Very dope producer. His name is Sean Black, S-E-A-N-B-L-A-K. Sean Black, very dope producer from San Jose, California. He put up this post on his page that said something, now I'm going to paraphrase, it was it was basically saying, what's the difference? What is the difference between appropriation and appreciation, right? Random, and I usually don't engage in none of that, but I was just, I figured out I have this habit, right? And I had to laugh at myself. So I noticed that about at least once a month, what I do is I take time to argue with an idiot because I want to practice the negotiation skills of arguing with an unintelligent person and seeing if I can navigate it, right? And I didn't realize that because a lot of times I'd be like, I'll tell one of my close friends, I'd be like, man, I did it again. I got in a conversation with somebody that I realized I was literally trying to talk logic to an idiot, and now I feel stupid. But I'm noticing it's a pattern, so it must be something I'm trying to do. So basically, it was a conversation about like,
it's like arguing with a child.
Yeah, but how can I navigate that conversation successfully without getting caught up in the deflections? Because now everything is about deflection. It was simple stuff at first. It was like, so what do you think about Thanksgiving? You know, what do you think about Christmas? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And, you know, people were genuinely saying genuine questions, like the Thanksgiving question. This young lady asked him, he said, well, to me, I think part of it is appropriation and part of it is appreciation because, you know, we have Native friends and we want to respect their culture. But the commercialization of it is the appropriation part because that's not how that happened. Right. And then so it was genuine, healthy conversation like that, where people of all races were just saying, OK, well, I think this is appropriation and this is why, or I think this is appreciation. And then there was this one, he was a troll. And his question was, so when black girls dye their hair blonde, shouldn't that be considered appropriation? Right. And so I'm reading it. And then for some reason, I just got a bug up my ass. I was like, so my boy Sean, he was like, yeah, he said, yikes. I'm not touching that one. And I was like, I got this. I just chimed in. I got this one for you, Sean. So I said, listen. So what I said, something to the effect of if you understood the struggle that black women go through to be socially accepted in society, appearance-wise, you would know that's a terrible question to debate appropriation. Because it's technically oppression. Because you're looking at a group of women that aren't allowed to be themselves because they're told all that is ugly. So they do that because they're trying to fit the standard that's putting them down. So but you could tell this guy was in here to pick a fight. You see what I'm saying? But it was more.
Right.
So at the end of the day, those kind of people don't deserve a voice. People who are toxic on purpose, who are negative on purpose, who try to hide racist, toxic things and terrible things to say about groups of people in under jokes or. I was just asking a question. No, you know exactly what you were asking when you asked it. That's why you created a fake profile. And because if you were genuine, like I'm being genuine right now, you can see my face. You see who I am. So that's what I mean. And
we're not behind keyboards.
Yeah. And he tried to take it down a rabbit hole. Cause I was like, man, I'm not going to argue with you. The facts still remain. And he even pulled out just the FYI, I'm not white. So don't try to pull that race card. I was like, I said, basically, I don't care what color you are. It's your mentality that's the problem.
Right.
Because if you were a person of color or a person that had any common sense or compassion, you would understand that group of people, they get picked on a lot. They get judged a lot. They're expected to look a certain way. Who they are naturally is judged. That's oppression because you're basically belittling one group to tell another group they're better. Come on. Let's not do that. Let's not be that person. Like, come on, man.
All right. Well, other than that, ladies, we're going to take our first break and hoping to hear from Ty. I know there was things going on. He had gotten a surprise trip down to Florida. So hopefully he has the time to come in. But we're going to play a song real quick and see. We're going to play some Chad Bearden. We haven't played Chad in a while. Chad's a country music artist out of Nashville, Tennessee. Check him out and, you know, go to his page, like, follow him, keep up with where he's at and where he's doing shows. I know he's slowed down a little bit. He's been doing a lot of writing, and he really likes that aspect more than touring. He's still doing stuff. So here it is. This is Chad Bearden, everybody. This is Sober. We'll be right back.
Must have turned up, must have been going hard on something in a paper cup. That's the only way I can explain where I'm at right now. I must have really been throwing them down, cause I never would have done it sober. Never would have said it's over. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could or I knew and tore our world apart. Tomorrow I know I'll wake up crumble. Cause I never would have done it so. I could blame it on the Jack, pin it on the Cuervo. Surely I was sipping on some hell I don't know. Wish I could find some bad excuse to explain what I did to you. Cause I never would have done it sober. I never would have said it's over. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could I do and tore our world apart. I'll wake up hungry, but I never would have done it sober. No, I never would have done it sober. I know it will all come rolling back to me, but right now I can't recall a damn thing. Cause I never would have done it sober. Never would have said it sober. I never would have spoke the words that broke your heart. Could or I do and tore our world apart. Tomorrow I know I'll wake up hungry. Cause I never would have done it sober. Never would have done it so. I must have had one too many. I really must have turned it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, with me broadcasting from his studio is my boy Jesse Libs.
Yeah, yeah. What's good with y'all?
That was Chad Bearden, ladies and gentlemen, Sober. Again, country music artist out of Nashville. Jesse, what did you think about the song, man?
I am not mad at that. That is bars. That song is bars. I have been there a time or two.
I would say that the majority of us have, you know.
Yeah, it brings back
drunk
some,
as fuck
some,
and say something stupid.
it brings back some fond memories of swashbuckling fuckery. It does. It really does.
Like, swashbuckling fuckery.
Fuckery. That's all you can. Hey, I can. Hey, I just hope that, because you were telling me a little bit about the story, you know, behind the scenes. I just hope that whoever that, because in my case, when it happened, I'm not going to tell all the way on myself. But when I had one of my moments, my homies left me hanging, like, because I literally tried to get help. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to tell you the damn story. Look, this is I'm going to tell you an abridged version. So I was going through a thing, you know, with my little girlfriend at the time. So we were on a breakup. So, you know, one night I was like, fuck it. I was sipping. I was drinking. But you know how you're drinking, but you don't realize you've drunk that much. But I was right. I was at home. So I was just sitting there. I was watching cartoons, not planning on going out. Then all of a sudden, my teammates, I'm in college at this time. So my teammates come beating on my door. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, get up. We're going to the club. Get dressed. Now, mind you, I'm not thinking I'm going out. So I'm just drinking. I've been drinking for about 2-3 hours. So they get me up, get me dressed. They were just on a mission that night. So by the time I get to the club, it finally hits me how freaking drunk I am. So I just remember literally like standing up against the wall, and I'm just trying to just hold myself up and keep my composure. And then all of a sudden, I just feel like this butt hitting my midsection. And I look down, and there's this girl, and she's just twerking away on me. And so I look to my left to my homeboy, and I was like, bro, I don't know who this is, but get her off me. And he looks at me and says, motherfucker, I'm drunk too. You're on your own. That's I never forget that shit. And it was just like,
I'm drunk too. You're on your own.
Yeah, that's what he leans over and says, motherfucker, I'm drunk too. You're on your own. Right? And so you could imagine, I'll just say that night turned into a complete shit show. Right? Because it was just like, I'm in the club. I don't know who this girl is. I'm on the outs with this girl over here. She's watching, but I'm too drunk to know she's over there watching. Yeah, it was like, yeah. I would have never came here if I was sober. They come to find out the girl that was twerking on me ended up beating up the girl I was breaking up with that night. Like it went all the way wrong.
I was gonna ask you, have you ever upgraded in the middle of the night?
Elaborate.
Okay. So I haven't thought about this in years, and I don't know why it just popped in my head. But, like, all right, so me and my roommate at the time, her name was Boysha. We went out to the club. We had some of her friends, I think it was, that were with us. Now, I was getting shit-faced. Like, I was done. I was getting shit faced, right? So,
you was trying to go to heaven. Huh?
Her girl's been kind of, you know, one of her girls been macking on me all night, right? And she's a thick chick, like she's a big girl. It's whatever, you know, I don't give a shit. And you know, so like,
was she cute?
I was going. She had that like really cute in the face thing. You know what
I'm
saying?
Okay, That's all that matters.
So.
As long as she wasn't a wildebeest, you're good.
Oh, girl,
girl
runs off to the bathroom. And the other chick that was with us come up to me, and she was like, hey, would you fuck her? And I'm like, probably, yeah.
At this point,
you can imagine,
I
said it just like that, it was like, probably, yeah. And she goes, because I'd fuck you. And I'm like, the night has definitely took a turn for the better, because that was better looking one.
Well, damn. You know, that's what it is. Like, well, then come on in,
yeah,
baby.
Just, like just all nonchalant. Just like, would you fuck her? Because I'd fuck you. And I'm like, well, my night is improved. All right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Continue.
Oh, you want me to? Okay. I mean,
continue. Hey, if you tell it, I'm listening. So go ahead.
God damn it. I hope my girlfriend's not listening. I hope she's still
working.
You
know what? Nah, let's keep you from getting in trouble. Let's just stop right there. I don't want to ruin our relationship, so let's just stop right there. To answer your question, no, I can't say I've ever upgraded like that, but I've had it in reverse where women were trying to upgrade, use me as the upgrade.
Right. I feel you.
Right. You know, I've always have had the blessing of falling in the popular category in situation. So, I mean, and it's just, that was just, you know, just luck, I guess. But like that night, that girl was trying to upgrade because I come to find out later, she beat her up because she didn't like her and thought she wasn't a good match for me and didn't like her character. And she figured she would be a better girlfriend for me. So she beat her up to prove that, right? It turned into a whole... And
damn, I never had no business fighting over me.
Hey, but now mind you, I didn't find out about none of this shit until the next day. Like, that's how drunk I was. I didn't know none of this transpired. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know the fight. All I remember was literally saying, I have no clue who this girl is. Please help me. That's the last thing I remember. And then I remember waking up the next day. So everything else was a blur. And I was like, I'm never doing that shit to myself again. Ever again. I'm never drinking on that level ever again.
I'm on my level again. On my level again. I'm drinking champagne all night.
Yeah. So just it felt like hangover, like where you're literally trying to backtrack the night, and they were like, well, yeah, and you did this, and then you jumped on the bar, and you were like, where the fat bitches at? Like, I did all that? I said all that?
Where the fat bitches at?
Like, I said, I literally, and they were like, yeah, bro. And he's like, and the crazy thing about it is they all came to the bar and started giving you their number.
Is this like mid-touring, like, or like in the
No, this is when I was in college. This is when I was in college.
Before.
This is when I was chasing my dream of being an NFL, you know, football player. So this was my senior year. It was either my junior or senior year, and it wasn't football season. We were in like spring ball season, and because we could drink and do things like that because there was rules on drinking during the season. We could only drink certain days of the week, and if you wanted to drink. So it was one of those type things. It was during basketball season, ironically. This was all – like, I can't even – bro, like, I won't even get into the tour stories. That – talk about –
conversations.
No, I can tell them, but most of them stories are like, what in the entire fuck just happened? That's those stories. But I would be telling on other people more than telling on myself. Because at that time I had – the dope thing about playing, you know, high-level competitive sports and playing professional sports is you kind of grow out of that behavior if you want to. And for me, you know, I was a football prodigy growing up, so I was always being groomed to deal with that pressure and that behavior. So at that time, by the time I came into the music game, I wasn't interested in those things anymore. You know what I mean? Because I realized there was more to it than that. So at that point, I'm just watching everybody else basically discover their first experience with being famous or popular or important. And so it's just crazy to watch because it's just like, yeah, that's going to go bad. But you know what?
Let me like mind a bunch of toddlers running around.
Nah, this is worse shit than that. Like, it's some shit. Like, shit, if we ever do an interview with Cordell, like, we can just tell you the story of the time that me and Cordell were on, the stories that happened on that tour, it was me, Cordell, and this other dude. that whole tour was a fucking shit show, and just all the crazy shit that happened on that tour. Like, we got caught in a tornado and all kind of shit.
Good Lord.
Like, yeah, it was, I mean, so touring-wise, it's always like, it's like the wildest shit, but just imagine being the sober dude in the middle of the wildest shit, and I'm just like, okay, is that a llama? Like, you know, like, what the hell? Like, so it'd be stories like that. It's a weird thing, man. It's just like, because you realize a lot of this shit, you put yourself in that shit. You don't realize that it's you. You are putting yourself in the position for this fuckery to happen, but you're just so caught up in the moment, because – let's be real. The average person is never going to get that kind of attention ever in their life. That's why people love and hate celebrities equally, because you'll never know what it's like to be like to see your name up on the marquee. That's a big thing. People don't realize how big of a thing that is, you know? After parties and you're the main attraction. Bro, if you're not built for that,
That'd be
you're
cool.
You're gonna get ate alive. You're gonna get ate alive, bro. If you're not, if think about it, you couldn't get a girlfriend in high school. Now you got girls fighting over you. That's what a lot of these newly famous or famous cats are dealing with. You didn't even get that kind of attention from women until you gained your celebrity.
Right.
How do you deal with that? You were a straight up dork. You were a nerd. You were a lame in all the sense of those words, and then you became famous. Now girls that would never talk to you are trying to trap you with a baby. What you gonna do with that? Like, that's a hard thing to navigate for a lot of people. Now you went from being broke to nothing's off limits to you. That's a hard thing to navigate.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, you know, having all that, you know, just happen all at once, that can definitely change people, you know.
Yeah, because the average person is not built for that. Let's just be real. There's something to navigate famous or celebrity or popularity. It's got to be something that's in you. Like, there's a difference. Think about this. Denzel, would you agree that Denzel Washington is a national treasure to everybody of any race?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You notice we've never
heard
anything.
Love me some Denzel.
Exactly. We've never heard anything bad about him. We don't know nothing about his family life. We just know that he's a great actor and he makes great, you know, movies.
Right.
Okay. That's by design. Because he, for some reason, somewhere along the line, he was built for this. And so his reality doesn't become him being a famous actor. He just happens to be one. Most people, it's the reverse or the inverse. So that's what, like, for a lot of rappers. A lot of rappers don't want to be Chad. They want to be MC so-and-so. Because MC so-and-so is the man. Chad, he still lives in his mom's basement. Chad is the guy that got picked on in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
MC, I'll kill everybody, is a gangster. Nobody wants to, you know what I mean? Like, and that's so people like living their facade, their character, more than they want to live them in real life, because the real life them is an average, mediocre person.
Right.
So, but you're not built for that fame. You're just occupying the space. And that's why we watch all these people self-destruct, because their character isn't built to handle everything that comes with that. It's something like, so it's a question that you got to ask yourself. And when I consult younger artists and things like that, and a few of the talents I work with, the thing I always bring up to them is, I said, the question you need to ask yourself is, it's not if, am I going to make it? The question should be, am I prepared for what comes with when I do? That's a crazy thing to think about, what that truly means. Am I prepared for, like, could you imagine what it's like to fucking be Drake? Like, to really think about it. Not the tip of the iceberg, the rich baller cool stuff, but just the pressure to be a Drake or a Lil Wayne or a Jay-Z, or like, we're watching Kanye, he don't know what personality to use. There's pressure there. Like, that's
right.
And I am a diehard Kanye fan. Diehard Kanye fan. But you can see the struggle, because we don't know what the pressure that man's really under, the expectations he's really under. That's a lot. When you're talking about multiple, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay, well, Eminem, we were talking about him. Think about this. If Eminem doesn't go at least quadruple platinum, his album is considered a failure. If he doesn't go close to diamond, his album is considered a failure. It's most motherfuckers that can't sell 50 CDs. Like,
right.
You see what I'm saying? The bar is set so high for him that he can't just make music no more, because they judge it. Right? I mean, I can't imagine what that pressure's like. And I don't know if I want to know what that pressure's like.
No.
But you got to be able to navigate it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you definitely always got a way of putting things that, you know, make you think about things for real. But we're gonna put on another song, and I don't know if we're gonna, I mean, I guess give up on Ty Law. You know,
it's all good. If he chimes in, we'll get to learn about what it's like to be a legendary battle rapper. If not, we'll just keep talking shit.
pretty much. Let's see. That was which one? I don't remember which one is that. My favorite out of Roulette Delgado. We had a roulette on about a month and a half ago. There's Bustin' Back, Sunshine, and Say Less.
Say Less.
Say Less? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a Roulette Delgado on. He incredible artist.
Very colorful guy. He's a very colorful guy.
Right. I was trying to find a proper way to say it. Very colorful. But an amazing person, you know. I think we had a very intellectual, you know, conversation with this man.
And he's a dope artist. And
absolutely.
From one rapper to another, as a rapper, I'm saying he's a dope-ass rapper, in my opinion.
So this is his song. Again, it's Roulette Delgado. Go check him out. Find him on Facebook, stuff like that. Follow what he's doing. This is his song, Say Less. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. It's been a blessing to be alive this long. And I want to share my story. Listen.
All I want to do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on a conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on a conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, and say less. 1986, a young king was born. Product of a dope fiend and a woman scorn. It used to be teardrops and dark thunderstorms. Now I'm the hottest in my lane, hate to toot my horn. Foster kid on a mission to find a better route.
Better
run a deal, get a meal, and buy my mama a house. She died before I could blow, and that shit stresses me out. She up in heaven pulling strings, and she blessing me down. My own family speaking on me, all the disrespect. So full of hatred and jealousy, death and disconnect. I went from being nobody to being in the press. On my way from commercial to flying private jet.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on a conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on a conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say early 90s, crack era destroyed my family. Now we full of dysfunction, so much insanity. I wasn't young and my grandpa took all my innocence. Was touching me instead of just teaching me what a man should be. Now I'm growing and battle these insecurities. The self-hatred, the flaws, and these impurities. Homophobia poking at my maturity. When they say engage the disease, but ain't no curing me. The same folks that created the COVID vaccine are the same folks that created the dope and crack fiend. Don't take a rocket scientist to know what that means. On my knees wishing this was all a bad dream.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
Fire.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. He's definitely one talented individual. So I love hearing his music.
You know what I like? You know what I like about Roulette Delgado's music? I like how melodic it is. That's very cool how he can find that middle ground. You know. Cause that's hard. That shit, even for me, that shit's hard. Like, yeah, that's my two cents. Like, I like that about his music, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, wish him, you know, for some success for him. He's definitely. I mean, could you imagine? You know. Worldwide tour with, you know, Roulette Delgado. I would say Like, because he seems like a fun cat. You know what I'm saying? Like a cool character. Hanging out with him, fucking, you know, doing shows and shit. I bet that'd be a wild thing, you know, because like you said earlier, you know, he's very colorful. If you go back and you look at the post about, you know, his interview and stuff like that on the show, and the pictures that we uploaded, you know, it's it kind of takes you back a bit, you know, when you see him, you're like, oh, you know, you wouldn't think, you know, he's got, you know, nails painted and all this stuff or whatever. And he's just got that fucking crazy look, just like, ah, you know, yeah, this is me.
I mean, bah. But I think that's the freedom of being a creative. You know, some people aren't. Some people can't take it that far. Can't be that kind of free. You know.
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, most people, you know, spend their lives, you know, just sheltered, not being, you know, what they truly want to be and acting how they truly want to act. And he just seems like, you know, he's got zero fucks to give. About what anybody thinks or says. And and it you know, it seems like it, you know, comes out in who he is. So I'm, you know, that'd be a dope ass fucking tour to be on with. I'd say
I can imagine.
You gotta admit, you'd meet some interesting fucking people, you know, like,
bro, you're gonna meet interesting
on a
people
tour with
him. Yeah,
you know,
regardless.
Like,
you're gonna meet that's
some
the one
interesting
thing about
fucking
touring.
People.
That's the one thing about touring. You're going to meet some different types of folks on tour. It doesn't matter who you're on tour with. You could be on tour with a Christian rapper, a Christian singer, a jazz singer. You still going to meet, like, that's the thing about touring. I won't say 90% of touring, but I'll say half of being on tour, you spend saying, what the fuck? Like, Did that just happen? Yeah. I can't tell you how many times that I've, like, asked myself, like, I didn't just see that, right? Like I said, what I said earlier, I was like, is that a fucking llama? Like, I've actually said that on tour. Like, is that a fucking llama? He got a pet llama? Like, he's got a llama on a leash? And he's walking it like a dog? Okay.
That's
you know.
Okay. All right.
Like, so, and that's the dope thing about touring. Touring is a lot of fun if you're a fun person. But there's a lot of usually the guy at the top is usually an uptight, narcissistic piece of shit. So, and that's just real. Most of the time, that's what it comes down to. Like, the personality of the people you're on tour with is going to make the difference in the experience, you know? But usually the guy that's the popular guy is a narcissistic asshole. So that energy carries that whole tour, you know? So you spend more time babysitting them than exactly enjoying the experience. And I've been on both sides of that where, you know, I was the support artist and the guy I was on tour with was a fucking narcissist. And then I've been the headliner and we had a ball, but that's just me. Or I've had been on situations where, like, when me and Cordell were on the same tour, I had somebody who wanted to do the type of stuff I was doing. So he was down to go zip lining and do this and do that. And, you know, let's go try this food. They say they got the biggest pancake in America here. Let's go look, you know, like we could do that. But
hell,
I think
yeah,
it all comes down to personality types. Like, the one thing about this game is, You can't be too uptight, because not everybody's going to get the privilege to go on tour. It's a lot of motherfuckers that say they go on tour. Nah, they lying. They going on some, I don't know what the fuck they should call them shits, but them shits ain't tour.
Well, shit, you know.
So let me ask you this.
Are you a fan?
Are you a fan of battle rap, since we were supposed to have a battle rapper?
Yeah, no, I enjoy battle raps. I, you know, I catch a lot on, actually, I catch a lot of, you know, clips of raps and stuff on TikTok and shit. So I sit there and,
you catch the finer points.
Yeah, and I you know, I what's that guy? He's got that TV show. James Cordell, whatever. He's got that rap battle show. Like, he had a, I seen one the other day. It was, was it Method Man that he had on? Like, he was battling against.
Oh, yeah, that's not battle rap.
Well, I mean, I know.
I know, the parody show. You talk about James Corbell.
Yeah, like, it was. Yeah. It's not. I know that's not like, that's not true battle rapping. But I do enjoy that because it's more comical than it's like,
right,
you know,
right,
trash
right,
talking.
Right,
you know,
it's
like
a, it's
shit
a, it's
talking.
It's a light. It's a trying
right,
to
right,
make
right.
it a lighter side of the
right,
how ferocious the battle rap scene is.
It's fun. It's fun battle rap, I guess, is what you could call it. And whether, you know, you can laugh at the end instead of going, oh, shit. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
I like battle rap. So, you know, I've watched, you know, videos and stuff on YouTube or whatever, guys going at it and going back and forth. And it's, you know, some of it, you know, is oh, shit. You know, some of it's kind of like, fuck, I don't even do that. And I could have done better. Like,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's literally like, oh shit. Battle rap for me teeters between oh shit and cringy as fuck. Like, that's literally battle rap. It's either like, damn, that's bananas, or like, you're a horrible person. You're a really horrible person. Like, that's for me. That's literally how I leave. Like, that dude's a horrible person. Like, I don't like him. And then, or that dude is awesome. Like, damn.
Do you have a favorite battle rapper, say? I mean, do you have somebody that you follow, you know?
I have two that I'm partial to. One is named Daylight and the other's name is A-Verb. Those are my go-to guys, just by the way they go about the job. Like, because like I said, I'm a lyricist at heart, so I'm always looking for those wow moments, like metaphorically, and I look for, because it's just, because to be able to think on that level in any type of just songwriting period, to be able to write a good fucking song is a superpower. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody can do that, especially as a lyricist. Not everybody can put words together in those ways and make them make sense on such a complex level that's so easily to digest. That's something that's God-given. That's otherworldly. You know, you think, I always say some people are aliens. They got to be. There's no way in hell a human brain works like that. It's not possible. Like, how do you even understand the English language in that way? Like, that's just not possible. Like, it's literary scholars that can't put words together. Shakespeare couldn't put words together the way some of these guys do.
Yeah.
So that's how, like, okay, like an Aver, one of my, and it's a legendary line. It's like, my iron low, like I'm anemic. And he's talking about a gun. And it was one of those, everybody in the room was like, wow. Even the guy he was battling. Oh, and that's another rapper. That's another artist that's dope. I can't remember who he was battling. And that pisses me off. I can't remember his name because he's actually fucking dope too. But just like lines like that, and that's the thing about that I love about battle rap, because the one thing about it is you got to be on your shit all the time or get embarrassed publicly.
Right.
Like, you can't take no days. And that thing is, you can get it from anybody. That's the one thing about battle rap. You can get it from anybody. It don't matter what race you are, don't matter male or female. You can get it from anybody. You can be a midget. You can get it from anybody. Like, if you don't show up with your shit together, you can get torched by anybody. And that's what. Go ahead.
There's no way. I couldn't. My brain doesn't even fucking process shit that fast. There's no way I could come up with stuff on the fly to talk shit about somebody.
Oh. Goods. My bad. Sorry, Goods. Even though I don't know you. Goods. Goods is another dope ass battle rapper. You know, actually, Ty Law is dope. You know, man, he's got some pretty, he's chopped down some pretty big trees. to be real with you, like, if you watch some of his battles, he's battled some of the legends. He's cut, he shot them motherfuckers down. to his credit, like, but I'll say Daylight is my go-to when Daylight isn't, because Daylight's one of those guys. He's a character guy, so he has a lot of antics, and his antics overshadow his talent sometimes. But when he decides to rap, yeah, nobody's fucking with that dude. When he actually just decides, because he thinks on like a metaphysical level, the way he sees the world, you know.
Right.
What I mean? And then like a guy like A-Verb, you know, you could tell a guy he grew up in the hood, he grew up in the street, but he wasn't groomed there, he wasn't educated there, so he speaks from a level of like, you have a favorite uncle that's been through it all. You know what I mean? It can really tell you the truth. Like, bro.
Right.
They you keep fucking around, you're going to die out here. Like, and so I like that angle where you could tell this guy is respected in the street, but he could sit at Harvard and lecture at Harvard if he wanted to.
Right.
Like that's dope. The parallels that he's able to show is what I love about, you know, Adverb. And then Goods, you know, you could see what an intelligent mind, how they say an intelligent mind can do, even when you stack all the obstacles against them. Like, you can see that, okay, yeah, I was in the street, yeah, I sold dope, yeah, I've been through it all, but I'm still intelligent. I did what I had to do to survive, but that doesn't make me less of a man, because if you would have put me in a corporate situation, I would have won that too. And you got to admire that shit, you know what I mean? So that's how I look at battle rap. That's what I look for when I'm looking at battle rappers, not I got a gun so big, your mama's pussy's going to get wet. No, I don't want to hear that shit. Like, I don't want to hear none of that
shit.
Like, because motherfuckers say dumb shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many gun references because that's what people go to. They, when all else fails, people go through insulting your family or gun references. I could care less from that about that because I feel like those are cop-outs. But, so, I mean, they're dope lines, but that's just not... It's easy, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's easy to talk about guns and how many bullets I got and how big my gun is and how much money I got and how much better than you I am. And like Goods has a bit where he'll let you go through your whole rhymes, right? And then he'll just start naming random things. Like literally, he'll be like, my watch costs $20,000. This cup is red, blah, blah, blah. It's just random shit. He's like, yeah, that's what I think about when you fucking dudes are rapping. Like, that's a dope bit because it's a way of saying, like, bro, that's bullshit. You're talking about bullshit. Without saying it. So
right.
That's what I love about battle rap, you know, the intellectual chess game of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's how I know I could never be a battle rapper because I'm sensitive about the things I'm sensitive about. So I fuck up my money all the time because there's certain shit you just can't talk about when it comes to me. Like, and I'm not even a violent guy, but that's when the violent guy will come out. So I knew I could never, I've been in some battles I've actually won some battles in my day, but I know I'm too sensitive for what battle rap is now. Because the things that matter to me, that I care about, they really matter to me. You're not just going to make a joke about, you know, someone I love and then laugh it off like, oh, that was just, nah, bro. I'm taking that as you trying to be funny secretly and nah. Ooh, you said the word. Now I got to cut you. It's like, you know, talking about my mama. Now I got to cut you. Like, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. So.
All
that's
like
why I
Donkey
can admire
Kong.
Those guys. Yeah. That's why I can admire those guys because they can look past that. Like, I can't. I mean, I wish I could. I mean, because I think I could hold my own. I'm too sensitive. I'll be the first one to tell you. You say something about something I care about. Nah, bro. Mm-mm. Yeah. Don't let the smooth taste fool you, bro. It's shit.
Nah,
you probably going to ICU tonight. You're not going home. I promise you. <That's>... don't fool the laughs and the smiles. Yeah, bro. Nah, bro. Not on duty. Not on. Cause think about it. How many times do you talk about killing me or kidnapping my daughter or you know, fucking my wife or bro? Nah. Nope, not gonna do it. I don't care what gang you in. We gonna figure out how gangster you are tonight. Like, so I can't. But yeah, I admire those dudes because that's a very hard, especially when you're rising up the ranks. That's a very hard world to conquer. You know, because most battle rappers don't make it as artists, and that's another thing.
Right.
So battle rap is their only avenue. And I don't know what that is. It's kind of like the Madden curse, you know? Like, I don't know why it's hard for battle rappers to – and that's what I wanted to ask Ty Law about is, you know, why is that hard, the transition so hard? Now, ironically, A-Verb, one of my favorite battle rappers, he's a dope-ass lyricist outside of battle rap. So he's one of the guys that has made the transition. He can do both.
Right.
You know, like –
Well, we have to, you know, have to try to reach out to some of these people that you've talked about. See if we can't get them on.
Yeah, we could try.
Let's see here. You know, have you heard of Harry Mack?
No, I never heard that name before.
You've never heard that name, Harry Mack. All right, so mm-hmm. Harry Mack is this guy, and he will walk around with like a little JBL speaker and
okay.
put on a beat, and then people give him words, and he'll just take whatever, you know, whatever words they say, and he'll incorporate in his rhymes and everything. And he'll talk, you know, everything about, you know, all the people, you know, around him in the crowd and stuff like that. And just incorporates everything around him. And he's fucking awesome. Like, if you watch one of his videos, it's like, holy shit, you know, 'cause it's all just freestyle. So it's, you know, it's all right there off the top of it. And you can tell because, you know, he incorporates like everybody in their crowd, you know, talk about their handbags or their shirts or something like that. And it's, you know, so it's not like the same people
yeah.
showing up to
that's
his,
a, that's a they, hard thing to pull
like,
off.
It's completely free, man. But you watch his videos, and I've reached out to him, but, you know, I got an email back saying they were going to forward this to somebody else or whatever and see if, Nope I Know was a good fit for Harry Mack at this time. So I was like, well, that's fucking stupid. Like, I just want to talk to the guy. Like, can I just talk
yeah.
to the guy?
No.
Nope. 3 minutes of his time.
Somebody
to him,
that,
like,
that means somebody looking for a cut. That's what that is. Somebody looking for people are invested in that guy and
like,
they want
yeah.
they cut.
Like,
I mean, yeah,
come
that's
on, man.
Do. Mr. Fab, you know, I don't know if you ever heard of Mr. Fab. He's pretty legendary for doing that.
No, I don't know.
You never heard of you've never heard of Mr. Fab? See, we can trade. Mr. Fab.
What's he
you never
Mr. Fab.
So Mr. Fab is a legendary rapper from the Bay Area. Legendary freestyler from the Bay Area, legendary battle rapper from the Bay Area. And that's one of his at his shows, that's one of the things, one of his main attractions is he does the word association. I mean, and I know this other guy, another cat. Who else? There's a few cats. Like shit. I had to do it one time at a show. I was forced to do it. That shit sucks. You know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, my brain doesn't move that fast. I can't.
Right.
Like, there's no way I could fucking. I'd go and I just leave.
Right. Oh, my Danku. That's what I'm sorry, Danku. The homie Danku from Wisconsin, he does that shit too. He's a beast at that too. But he's a freestyle, one of those just forever freestyling type cats. Yeah. Well, in my case, when I had to do it, I had a show in fucking Nebraska, and the DJ will remain nameless because I don't, you know, because yeah. And for some reason, on his fucking CDJ, he had this outdated fucking CDJ mixer thing, and so it wouldn't play my show CD. And then so,
okay.
And basically, so here I am coming on stage, and the CD, my show CD, don't work. Now, mind you, I'm on the hook for, I've already been paid for this show. I'm not giving that fucking money back.
Right.
But I had to come up with something. So I was just like, play a beat. I was like, give me a word. Give me a word. Somebody give me a word. But it was it was what it was. I got through the show. But, shit, I'm not never doing that shit on purpose. Like, That's just, like, I can do it in the clutch. I can freestyle with the best of them in the clutch, but it's not what I prefer to do.
Right.
You know, that's just not – that's something I can do. That's a part of the culture I grew up in. That's how most of my stuff gets created. But that, I do that shit behind closed doors, so I don't have to be conscious about what I'm talking about until I can map it out. You know, that's just how I like to create music. But there's some guys out here that are phenomenal at coming off the top of the head with it. And those guys, leave them fucking guys alone. Those guys are problems. Don't challenge those guys. They'll fuck you up. Like, dudes that just do that for fun, like the Harry Matt guy. He practices that muscle every day. Like, you don't want no problems with that dude. Know your lane, people. Okay, rappers, know your fucking lane and stay in it. Like, that's how I've made it as far as I've made it. I know what my lane is. Witty, slick ass, metaphors, and wordplay. That's my shit. That's where I'm staying at. Kiss my ass. I don't want to do nothing else. I'm not living above my means in this game. That's just what I do.
Hell yeah. You know? Well, we're gonna play one more song here, and we'll come back. We'll wrap things up for the evening. You know, we missed out on Ty Law. Shit happens. Life happens. You know, it's not the end of the world. We hope that Jesse and I were entertainment enough for you for the night.
Yeah,
so
we were. We always are. I mean, you know, we hope Ty Law is having a good vacation.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. So this is Catechize. We had him on last year around this time, actually, maybe a little over a year ago. And this is a song called "Taking the Throne." Really great guy out of Spokane, Washington. Part of that. What are you laughing about?
I'm sorry. I don't know. The first thing that popped in my head is like the the Hamburglar stealing somebody's toilet out the. I don't know why. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm special. I know. Mama says I was special. Hey, that's all I can think of. Somebody sneaking out with a toilet. Like,
taking the throne, up. Literally.
Yeah, literally just taking it.
Taking the porcelain throne.
Yeah, like, fuck
it. No, it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I know, but you can tell you the random shit I think about.
That's Jesse Lives for you, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Catechize. This is Taking the Throne. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. We'll wrap up the show. Thank you.
What I'm doing back then, I was just a fantasy. Grinding, pushing, working hard. No one ever handed me nothing, ever for the fame, only for the family. They watching every move I'm making. I know they can't handle me. Never drink or go to parties, I got moves to make. I'm just starving for success, feels like I'm losing weight. And while everybody out here arguing about who's the great, I'ma keep my face, stay my grace, and I'ma lick the plate. Everyone's given a talent, the problem is most of them going just wasted. Using excuses, you basic face it. I can have the dreams, you just chase it. They spend their money on clothes, I spend my money on goals. They surround themselves with their bros, I surround myself with the pros.
We've been through the fires of the unknown, and this time we are not alone.
They need to find a new dentist, cause nobody gonna supply them with crowns. They been trying to drill out of my wisdom, but they cannot brace what I'm doing right now. You gotta be kidding me, most you cats, you ain't even trying. You claim me the main king of the jungle, but I know that most you lying. See, I'm just trying to show my son that life is just an obstacle. But if you got God on your side, then anything is possible. If you keep on pushing, working hard, you'll be phenomenal. And you your daddy's son, you became boy, you're unstoppable.
We've been through the fires of the unknown, and this time we are not.
Mostly snakes, they bite lines, they python. When they write songs, I'm an icon. When the mic's on, I'm Tyson. When I beat up the beat, put the ice on. Hit them with the rhythm I rely on. Never see defeat, that's for nylons. They cool with losing. I think they price gone. I'm working and building an audience. They just keep looking for parties and partying. Covering low self-esteem with that cockiness. I know the curve and intention is obvious. Whoa! Never drink or go to parties. I got moves to make. I'm just starving for success. Everybody out here arguing about who's a great. I'ma keep my faith, say my grace, and I'ma lick the play.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Nope I Know Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, with me broadcasting from his home studios, my boy Jesse Lives.
Hi.
that was very bland, very, very plain.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. How you doing?
had you heard that one by Catechize? Have you
heard
that one?
No, I've honestly never heard of Catechize.
Yeah, he's a... obviously, you know, he's that Pacific Northwest, hip hop movement, got hooked up, with him through Cordell. And then my man, he was a really cool guy. Actually, right now I think he's concentrating on his barber career.
Oh, maybe I have heard of Catechize. Maybe I'm lying.
Yeah, he's done some things with Cordell.
I might be lying. Forgive me if I'm lying. If I know you and you're slipping my mind right now, I apologize. Maybe I'm lying.
Yeah, like they did For the City together, him and Cordell.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yes, I have heard of Kenny. My bad. I apologize. I apologize, Kenny, guys. Yeah. Well, you know, the Pacific Northwest right now, they got an opportunity right now. If and I mean that whole region. If they can get it right and click up and link up and really, really fuck with each other, I think they can make some noise, but it's going to take some unity. But they have an opportunity because, like, the Pacific Northwest is the touring market right now. Like, well,
there's a lot of fucking great artists that are coming out of that area.
Right.
And some of them aren't even, like, pushing it. Like you know, Catechize, one of them, you know, he's – does a lot of, you know, he's focusing on his barber career and stuff like that, you know, and everything.
Shit,
like
that's where
that.
His money's at. He might as well.
Along with another, who was it? Hercules.
Big Herc, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
now, see,
same thing.
Big
you
Herc.
Know, he's got a barber shop, you know, so, you know, and they're talented artists, not even sweating.
I mean, you gotta focus
thing,
on,
you know
on keeping your lights on. I ain't mad at that. At least they got the right priorities.
A lot of motherfuckers
living on couches, like trying to be a rapper, just struggling, you know, like living off their girlfriends and shit.
There's no hate on their game, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're, you know, because you're talking about, you know, they have that chance, you know, you have an opportunity. You know, you got guys that, if they were putting, you know, everything in on it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Could be a lot of stuff that happened. I mean, I think, you know, there's an extreme abundance of talent out in that area right now. And you know, they definitely can, you know, they can make some noise, you know, like you said, for sure. You know, if there's some unity and stuff like that, you know, people start linking up together.
Learning how to network correctly and understanding how to network outside of the Pacific Northwest to help feed the Pacific Northwest. You know, that mean, but like I said, but that's just my opinion on it. I've seen it happen in other regions, you know, but it takes some effort and some open-mindedness and some intelligence and some business savvy. Because everybody gets so caught up in being the what's up, youngins? Everybody gets so caught up in being the king of, you know, and there was a time I was stuck in that fucking stupid shit trying to be the king of San Jose when it really didn't fucking matter because truthfully I wasn't getting booked in San Jose, I was getting booked everywhere else. So you know what I'm saying? Like I've never been the man in San Jose, but shit, I've been the man everywhere else.
Hell yeah.
Understanding there's a bigger, sometimes there's a bigger picture. And people didn't start checking for me until I made my moves in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. Now, people are just now starting to check for me, and I've been quiet for a minute. You know, COVID made me quiet. Ironically, more people have checked for me since I've been being quiet than when I was active. So
it's funny how things turn out, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, the Pacific Northwest, if you're listening, you guys got a real opportunity to possibly be the next Atlanta if you take advantage of what you have and not be arrogant assholes about it and one-track minded about it. It's just, that's the truth.
Well, you heard it, ladies and gentlemen, right there from the horse's mouth, Jesse Lives.
Hey, I feel like this. The Pacific Northwest has been real good to me. It's kept my lights on for 5-10 years.
Hell yeah.
You know? I mean, I get love in the Pacific Northwest. Love. Stupid love. Like, hey, if y'all don't want it, I'll gladly continue to take advantage of it, like, and to appreciate it, because, hey, it's hard to get shows in California. You have no idea how much red tape you got to go through to put a show together in California. That shit is hard.
I can only imagine.
There's so much miscellaneous bullshit that don't got nothing to do. Like, it's like this. Okay. In the Pacific Northwest, right, you can not, you know, I'm sure there's places you can't, but you can walk into a venue and say, hey, who runs this place? Oh, Jeremy. Who's Jeremy? Him over there. You can walk up and say, hey, Jeremy, I'm Jesse Lives. I'm a hip-hop artist. I'm looking for a place to hold my event. Is it possible I can hold it in your event? And you're going to be able to be like, yeah, hell yeah. Or, nah, we don't do that here. We do rock and this and that. In California, you got to know this guy and be cool with this guy and dress this way and make this and drive this kind of car and be down with this gang and it's everything but the music. You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And then you're dealing with a race barrier because a lot of the people who own the buildings in California aren't American. That's another thing you're dealing with, you know. So you're dealing with a lot of Persians, a lot of Middle Eastern people, Asian people, and so they got a whole other, you know, whatever they have opinion of what we do,
right.
And you got to get on that. Like when I was on tour, we did a show in San Jose. It was like the last show of the tour, and all the lady cared about was how many bottles we sold. Now, mind you, this place was dead. Any other day of the week, the fucking venue was dead. Right? That's why we picked it. We were like, yeah, we could definitely get in here. All she cared about is you didn't sell enough bottles tonight. The fuck? We packed out your fucking building. Is it our fault that they didn't buy bottles? Because it's about that. It's about them using. It was never about supporting the local music scene.
Right.
So in a place like the Pacific Northwest, there's opportunities and there's venues and there's owners who want to actually support the local music scene. Now, I'm sure a lot of people fuck it up by the way they act, but the opportunity is there that doesn't exist in a lot of places. So a lot of the bigger cities, the opportunity isn't there because of the politics of the city. So when people say, you know, we don't got nothing here, man, look, if I lived in Idaho, I'd be a rich man right now. Because it's that easy to set something up. If I lived in Montana, I'd be a rich man right now. If I lived in, you know what I'm saying? And it's a place where a lot of bigger artists tour through. So there's a lot of opportunity to get on stage because you got the Tech Nines and the Nappy Roots and the Afro Man. They're all in the going through those areas. So that creates opportunity for you as an artist. That shit's not happening in California. Everything is mainstream in California. There's no way in hell that Jesse Lives is getting on the Jay-Z Beyonce show. It's not possible.
Right.
It's not happening, bro. Sorry to tell you. Okay? And I'm not willing to sell my soul like that, but that's what we get here. And so the independent world, ironically, it revolves around the Pacific Northwest. Just the Pacific Northwest has to understand that. The Pacific Northwest and the Midwest is basically the independent world's lifeblood. Most people don't appreciate it because you're in the middle of it, so you can't appreciate it because you don't know how hard it is everywhere else. Because think about it, if you're from a Washington, you think California and Hollywood is the place. I've tried to warn so many motherfuckers from moving out here, like, bro, please don't move out here. This place will swallow you alive. We eat ourselves here. We will blow, literally, the mentality here is to stop him, I will blow myself up with him in the room. That's how California thinks. That's how we function. That's how our hip hop scene functions. So that's my tidbit on that. Like, I wish I had some of those opportunities locally. Now, I was never above going and chasing the opportunity. That's how I made a name for myself. I would go chase the opportunity, but I wish I didn't have to do that. I wish the opportunities would have just came to me by just my geography. And so there's a lot of cats who, and then there's artists who will say, well, man, I did 20 shows. Yeah, but you did 20 shows in the same venue, opening up for the 20 acts that toured through this year. So did you actually do 20 shows? You know, so there's guys that get caught up in that, not realizing that you're not maximizing the opportunity because you're seeing it wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I could give a whole TED talk on that subject, because I've made a business out of that subject. And I just want the Pacific Northwest to know, like, there's a lot of opportunity there. Like, I mean, you've got guys like Cordell that are from Washington. Like, that guy's connected to a lot of people. That's how me and you know each other. You see what I'm saying? So even by that, it's just even knowing him could open doors for you, or even being on his cool side. Maybe you might come on a show like this and somebody might hear your song and, look, now you're booked in Texas. Now you're booked in Louisiana. Now you're booked in Arizona just because somebody's listening to our show. You see what I'm saying? Like, and it's easier to get to, or it's easier to trade a show. Like, okay, look, I can book a show in Montana. It's not hard. Like for me, I can book a show in Kansas. I will book you in Kansas before I try to book you in California.
Right.
Because I just don't want to jump through the hoop in California. But, yeah, that's just my tidbit, man. Don't miss your opportunity.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Well, we want to thank everybody for, anybody who listened in tonight, you know, me and Jesse going back and forth. You know, sometimes the artist of the week thing doesn't work out, but we make it enjoyable, hopefully. Hopefully there was some enjoyment there. Maybe you learned something. Maybe you had a laugh or two. So the best we can hope for, right, Jesse?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I hope everybody has a great weekend. Jesse, you want to say your farewells, man?
Put the barge for the bullshit, people.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for chiming in tonight.
Hold on. Not to cut you off. I got one more. Please stop arguing with troll accounts on social media. Don't argue with the guy that's hiding behind the troll account. Like, just ignore those people.
Yeah, leave them alone.
Can we stop doing that? Can we stop doing that, America? Can we stop arguing with fake people that are hiding on purpose to start shit? Can we just stop entertaining them? That's what I want to end on. Go ahead.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. We will be off next week. There's not going to be any shows on the WCM holiday week, stuff like that. So it's time for, family time. So we will not be on air next week for Thanksgiving week. But we will be right after that, the following week. So stay tuned. Have a great weekend. And as always, everybody, please keep your hearts open and your radios up. Take care.